It's kind of a little bit, it's a little past the date, but that's good. It makes you appreciate the date. Yeah, it's concentrated. As a matter of fact, you're getting a little bit stronger than you ever could imagine. Amen. I just got a thing from Jordan saying that we're still on that fake Facebook page. I don't know anything about Facebook, and so I can't fix it. So unless you know how to get us off the fake Facebook page, we're back on it again, and nothing's happening. Anybody knows how to fix that? You're more than welcome. Thing I know about Facebook is how to spell it. I'm not even sure that I spell it with a big B or a little B. You know, Facebook. God's so good. Get your Bibles out. We're going to talk about a very timely subject. We're only going to do part of it today. We're going to try to get the rest of it next week, but it may not even be finished by next week. I'm not even sure where to take this or how to take it through. But get your Bible out. Turn to Genesis. Genesis chapter 2. He said we're on a fake Facebook page. I don't even know how to get on the real Facebook page. I don't know anything about Facebook. Nothing. Got your Bible out. Stand for the reading of the word. This is going to be deep. This is probably going to be one of the deepest ones you've had in quite a while. We always go deep. We never do surface sermons, ever. But today is going to be a very powerful, deep sermon. And I hope that you will honestly forget about the person beside you, the person in front of you, the person behind you. All I want you to concentrate on is yourself at this moment, and we're going to move through with this. This is very powerful, and it's very important. And if we don't get it right, then you're going to have problems. How many has problems sometimes in your relationships? There's no perfect relationship on this earth. None. Because I guarantee you, somebody even said one time, if you could get along better with your wife if she'd been a better woman. And I said, well, you know what? If she was a better woman, somebody said, yeah, and if she'd been a better woman, she'd have found a better man. There's no such thing as perfect. None. And if you think you are, I'll tell you what, right there is your biggest problem. We all have flaws. We all mess it. We all come short, every last one of us. And because we do, this is something I'm doing on, I started this. Actually, this all came from Building Lives from the Kingdom. Somebody asked me on one of the Facebook Lives on Wednesday night, can you please tell us how to apologize? And so I started this week on Facebook Live with this, but this is not quite the same as what was on Facebook Live. This is a lot deeper. Facebook Live was just surface, go through, get some stuff out there. This we're letting down the plow, and we're digging deep. Now, a lot of us, our whole life would be better if we could learn. One, I wish I had thought about it. I'd have put it up there. Y'all remember watching Fonzie say, I'm sorry? He went, I'm sorry. Okay, that was Fonzie. Remember Fonzie on Happy Days? Okay. Well, believe it or not, we're all like that. To a certain extent, we're all like that. And even sometimes when we apologize, sometimes your apology, have you ever said you're sorry to somebody and you just as well been spitting in the wind? Amen? Just as well been spitting in the wind because nothing happened. It came right back to you and it didn't work. We're going to talk about today. We're going to start it. Next week, we're going to hopefully finish it, but we're going to get into some deep stuff, biblical stuff on apology. And how you can actually save, listen to me, you can save virtually, or at least start on saving virtually every relationship in your life, whether it's with your kids, with your spouse, with your boss, with church people. It's amazing, because when you take the start of this, it's amazing what will happen. So get your Bible out, Genesis 2:18. And the Lord God said, It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground of the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought unto him to Adam to see what he would name them and he would call, what he would call them. Whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave the names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was none found a helpmeet for him. And Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had given or taken from man made he a woman. And woman means man with the womb. Brought her unto man. And Adam said, this is now the bone of my bones and the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and the wife, and were not ashamed. Okay, ready? Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that we're not alone. We're not by ourselves, that you've got this. We know you've got this. There's nothing, absolutely nothing that we cannot do without you, Lord. And there's nothing, Lord, that can stand in our way if we'll do it your way. But if we do it our way, then we've got all kinds of problems coming our way. I ask you right now, Lord, to help us, Lord, to see, to know, to understand what you would have us to do. And Lord, I ask you right now, Father, to minister in a way that only you can. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The church said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Oh, come on, you can do better than that. All right, you can be seated. On the way down, tell somebody it's so good to be in God's house. Now again, this don't, when you hit this, if this hits you hard today, don't say, well, he's been staying up all night long trying to find out who he can hit with this. No. This is stuff I've been studying. I'm in my third semester of being an emotional, being a mental health coach. Remember, I've already been to Lee, got the ring, got the Dakota ring and everything from Lee University. But that was a degree, in leadership, psychology and counseling. This now is with a different school. I go at a different rate. As a matter of fact, now I go up my own speed now. So, I'm in the third trimester of giving birth to a certificate, mental health coaching. And this was some of the stuff we were studying a week or so ago. And so while I was studying it, it was just amazing to me that while I'm on Facebook Live on Wednesday nights for Building Lives for the Kingdom, somebody said, can you please explain to us about apology? Because I was talking about something entirely different. And so I said, well, there is a way to apologize. If y'all really want it, I'll do it next week. And the thing started popping up, please do it next week. Please do it next week. Please do it next week. I said, okay. So I started it on Facebook Live. That's where we're on now. Okay, we on now. Hey, everybody out there in Facebook land, y'all are looking good. I'm seeing through eyes of faith that y'all are looking good. Okay, y'all say hello, Facebook people. Okay, y'all can't see them all, but they're out here. Amen. We're keeping our distance. Amen. All right, so here we go. Since this 6-foot distance rule is going out, I found out that the antiperspirant people are going broke. People aren't buying it anymore. They don't need it. They remember 6 foot away. Okay. You know, I did hear a funny story this week, though. A gorilla walked into a drugstore and ordered $1.50 chocolate sundae. Ready? He put a $10 bill on the counter to pay for it. The clerk thought, what could a gorilla know about money? So he gave the gorilla a $1 bill back in change. As he did, the clerk said, you know, we don't get too many gorillas in here. He said, no wonder. He said, at $9 a Sunday. So I got to apologize right to start with. Cornfield County, apologize. Okay, so here we go. How many know, how can I apologize? Let me count the ways. Now this is, like I said, this is going to be heavy. This is not your average garden variety. You might not be hearing this taught a lot of places because this is more like for when you're having even a Bible study, I'm not sure, or having some kind of conference at church, that's what you hear. But we're going to hear it here today. We're going to hear it right now. Okay, y'all ready? All right, here we go. Here it is. It's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. So let's go a little further here. Our God is all about relationship. Okay? All about it. Our God's all about it. See, God, think about something now. God in His power and God in His wisdom, He ordained relationships. Not only did He ordain the relationship, He designed them. Okay? It's one thing for me to tell you, can you please get something done for me? It's another thing if I give you the blueprint. Makes it a whole lot easier. So God, He had the power and the wisdom to ordain and design relationships. Not just with your man and wife, but I'm talking about with your sons and your daughters, with your parents. But I want you to see something here. Watch carefully. Look. Although Adam had relationship with God, although Adam had relationship with all the animals, Adam was still alone. Think about it. Have you ever been in a room somewhere with all these people around you, and even though there's a bunch of people around you, you still feel alone? Ever? Have you ever, you got people all around you, you're in the family get together, and you still feel like you're all there, all by yourself, you're all alone? Well, here was Adam. Adam had God. Can you imagine walking in the cool of the day with God in the garden? Wow! And Adam, all the animals, they weren't fierce. They come to him, and he named them all. So that's how much of an intimate relationship he had with the animals. He actually named them. But God looked down and saw Adam, and he saw all this stuff going on. He saw, you know, he had a personal relationship with God. He had an intimate relationship with God, an intimate relationship with the animals. But God said there was no suitable companion for Adam. So God puts Adam to sleep. And then let me just do this in the Amplified version. It says, "Now the Lord God said, it is not good, sufficient, satisfactory that man should be alone. I will make him a helper, suitable, adapted, and complementary for him." Okay? That's cool. I'll make a helper that's suitable, adapted, and complementary for him. Genesis 2, 18, the Amplified version. So now, God ordained relationships. Of course, I've got man and wife relationship pictured here, but again, God ordained relationship because man, although, you know, you can love your animals and although you can love God, in order to really feel fulfilled, you need something more, and that is one-to-one contact with people. I was reading some studies just last week about children that they were raised up and they found out some of the worst hardened criminals were raised up did not know what a relationship was. And because they did not have a relationship, they had a detachment syndrome in them and it was just bad because they really did not know how to interact with people. So it's important that we have relationships, okay? Because we're on this earth. And this is the only place we got to live right now. Anybody got another place we can go live? Okay. So now, here we go. Y'all getting in this? Y'all ready? Y'all say we're ready. Say, let down the plow, Pastor. Every healthy relationship has problems. Woo! Surprise! Every healthy relationship has problems. Just because your relationship's healthy, doesn't mean there's not going to be problems. Just because everything seems cool on the outside does not mean there's a little storm brewing on the inside. Okay? And so every relationship that you've got, every relationship, whether it be with your spouse, whether it be with your parents, whether it be with your children, whether it be with a coworker, every relationship, even in the most healthiest of times, can throw you a curveball. I get them thrown at me all the time, and I'm going, where'd that come from? You know, what I've discovered is every relationship, y'all say every relationship in your life is a four-letter word. W-O-R-K. Every relationship. Every relationship is work. If you don't put in any work, then I can promise you, if you don't put any work into any of your relationships, I can promise you the relationship will deteriorate to the point where there's no longer interaction or interfacing. It's more like interfering. So it's important that we understand that even the most healthy of relationships hits bumps. So watch this, watch this, watch. God knows this. Watch. Be careful here. Ready? Relationships. Individuals, all of us, need to feel loved. We need to feel appreciated. And apart from relationships, I don't know how it can happen. Because if I really don't know you, how can you really love me? If I really don't know you, how can you appreciate what I do? And if I really don't know you, how can I really? I mean, we can have the agape love. Sure, the agape love. I love all people, agape love. But to have the other types of love, it requires a relationship. Agape love requires one, only you, with the love of God flowing through you. But every other relationship, especially philia or phileo, which is where we get the city of brotherly love, you have to have that interaction. Storgis, which is another type of love, that is a family love. You have to have interaction. And also eros love, which is between a man and a wife. You have to have interaction. Without interaction, all of that's nothing. So here we go. People need to feel loved and appreciated. And that's what relationships do. So now, but they also can promote misunderstanding. How many has been misunderstood in the last month? Okay. How many has been misunderstood in the last week? I thought every relationship. I'm talking just you. I mean, any, pick a relationship. How many has been misunderstood today? Okay. So please don't look around. You don't want to feel intimidated. Ready? People, it promotes misunderstanding because actions can run contrary. Your emotions get stirred. And when your emotions get stirred, if you're not careful, your feelings will get hurt. And so when your emotions get stirred, all of a sudden there starts to be fraying in that bond, that relationship. And when your feelings get hurt, instead of being a bridge between you and the other person, there becomes a wall. And until that wall is dealt with, oh, you can still be together, but you're not together. Because there's a wall there. And that wall has to be turned into a bridge. Not blown up, just take the wall and turn it into a bridge. And it's an amazing thing. And so that's what we're talking about today. So to guard this, we need to learn how to deal effectively. Now again, like I said, there was no motive in my mind other than as I was doing this on Facebook Live on Wednesday night, I heard the Holy Spirit prick my heart and it said, now do it Sunday. Okay. So I think I even said on Facebook Live, we're going to do this Sunday. All right. So remember. So first, God knows about relationships. Watch this. I love this. There you go. So now, come on. There we are. Come on. Everything today is going to be fun to play with. I'm telling you, everything so far has just been hard. So we know this is a good one today, okay? There's a reality in your relationship, and that is no one is perfect. Any relationship, whether it's two people, whether it's 20 people, I can promise you if it's two people, they are two imperfect people trying to have a perfect relationship. If it is 20 people, it is 20 imperfect people trying to have a perfect relationship. And let me just tell you something right now. There's no such thing as a perfect relationship. Say, well, some of y'all guys right there going, no, I'm having really, but mine's fine. I got a perfect relationship. Really? If she weren't here, would you say that? If he weren't here, would you say that? There's no such thing as a perfect relationship. If you get that in your head, that will help you to understand. That's why we need to work. We work at a perfect, it's like a doctor, MD. He practices medicine. Did you ever see a license to do medicine? No, it's licensed to practice medicine. The certificates that I've been getting for life coaching and counseling, it's certified that I've been through this so I can practice this. It's always learning. You're always going. You always got to work on it. Relationships, you always have to work on them. So watch this. No one's perfect. If people don't deal with failures, hurt feelings and emotions, it results in an emotional barrier of hurt again. It's the wall. How do I take this wall and turn it into a bridge? It's two-pronged. There has to be apology, but there has to be forgiveness. We're going to talk a little about that today. But again, there has to be apology or asking for forgiveness. Then there has to be forgiveness given. Now, this can be in any relationship. Any relationships. Don't think I'm just hitting on marriages. I'm hitting on every relationship. I promise you, how many times you walked around and felt bad about something until somebody said they were sorry and they really did it right, and all of a sudden, it's like all that weight you were carrying when you got around them was gone. You know why? Because a true apology was given and a true forgiveness was given. That's why everybody felt so perfect. So now here we go. Here we go. Watch this now. We're going to do this. I want you to listen carefully. I'm getting ready to tell you because this is some very, very powerful, powerful stuff. How many's ever heard of the five love languages? Trent, Smalley and Trent and those guys got together. They actually did a survey, worldwide survey. They took questions and they categorized. As they started categorizing stuff, what they discovered is no matter how you want to say it, slice it, or dice it, all relationship love languages fell into five categories. If y'all want to go over to five love languages, we can do that after this if that's what you want. Because five love languages is very important. But see, the five love languages help us connect. Okay? Five love languages, they're there to help us connect. They're very important. They're something that you need to strive for. But we're going to talk about again. You think I was done in the other order, but again, I really felt prompted by the Holy Spirit. Instead of doing the five love languages first, do the languages of apology. So they took, and while they were on the roll, and millions of people have been helped, and millions of relationships have been saved and salvaged because of the five love languages. The same way, there's languages of apology. Love languages help us connect. Well, the language of apology helps us to reconnect. Because remember, the love language builds the bridge. We have problems. There goes the wall. In order for that wall to become a bridge, we have to have apology and forgiveness. And there it goes again. Now watch this. Listen carefully because, again, this is not singling out anybody. Ready? Apologizing. How do you spell you're sorry? I mean, literally. I don't mean like S-O-R-R-Y, but how do you, in your actions, say you're sorry? I'm going to use some scriptures here. Some very powerful scriptures, because the Bible is very clear on apologizing. See, the Bible talks about two different sets of relationship. There is the horizontal relationship, that is man to man, man to woman, man to child, child to mom. Then there's the vertical relationship, and that is man to God. Have you noticed that the cross man to man reconciliation, man to God reconciliation, the cross? The cross is a picture of this. So now, there needs to be, here it goes, there needs to be, again, acknowledgement of the problem Then there needs to be a forgiveness of the problem, or ask for forgiveness for the problem. And then, so here it is. Proverbs 28:13, he who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. Again, with our vertical relationship, when there's sin in our life, we confess it to God. Once we confess it to God, then we say we're sorry. We apologize to God through repentance. And when we apologize to God, then God restores the relationship. But sometimes it's this way. I said a harsh word. I did a harsh thing. I snapped at somebody when I really didn't mean to be snapping at them, or something I said or did maybe not was understood the way I meant it. But no matter what it was, whether I meant to hurt them or whether I didn't mean to hurt them, whoever they were, here to here is the bridge. But once I go to that person and I apologize, a true apology, then it's up to them with the forgiveness. But again, there it goes. So the cross is pure reconciliation. It's reconciliation between us and God. There's the bridge. It's reconciliation between man and man, or man and woman, or two people, because there's the bridge. There's the cross. Bridge, the bridge. Okay, so now, here we go. Here, let me give a couple more. Isn't this good stuff? All right. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, also a separation between you and somebody. Your relationship. Alright? And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Again. Until they're, look, they may say, I forgive you. Don't worry about it. I forgive you. But honestly, without the apology, they may have forgiven you, but it's still there. And the person who forgives you is trying to work it out. And the person who's been forgiven may think they got a clean bill and everything's fine, they were right. But you know what? Instead of being a bridge, it's kind of like this all the time. It's like walking on a wind bridge. Okay? Because it's always doing like this because it hasn't been handled correctly. All right? And then, here's the other one. Therefore, if you're presenting your offering at the altar and you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, then come and present your offering. So now, God's all about apologizing. Okay? Apologizing in the fancy Greek is repentance. Okay? I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. So, you know, and I got this here, teach our kids how to say they're sorry. I put it there for a really strong reason. How many in here taught your kids how to apologize? Every hand should go up. You know why? You know why? Here, I'll show you. This is so powerful. So, so powerful. Watch this. People learn different styles of apology and non-apology from their parents. That's their number one teacher when they're a child. Whether you know you're teaching them or not, you're teaching them. Whether you say, well, I never really taught them really one way or the other, yeah, you did. If you were hard on people, I'm pretty sure they're hard on people. If you were really light with stuff and easy to get along with, they're light with and easy to get along with. And I have to say this, fathers, please don't throw anything. If you throw any fruit, make sure it's real fruit, not canned fruit. Ready? Research shows that 10% of the population, at least 10%, never apologize. And most of these are men. So you're teaching, if you never apologize, you're teaching your kid. Real men don't apologize. Okay? So you gotta pay careful attention. Because sometimes it's not that you got a chalkboard and the easel. Sometimes you are the chalkboard and the easel. Okay? Because they're watching how you apologize to people. You know, some folks, honestly, there's some folks I really know that I think they think they're never wrong. Really? Did y'all know people like that? I mean, it's like you can't even talk to them because whatever you talk to them about, they're always right. Always. They're never wrong. They're always right. And so they shut off every conversation. Even if you're trying to apologize, hear what you apologize to them, they're going, see, I told you I was right. And so when that happens, you've already shut down everything. So here it goes. You got like a wind bridge. It's doing like this because it's trying. You're crossing between a wall and a bridge, wall and a bridge, wall and a bridge, because there's so much there because you can't bend. So in your mind that I got this, okay? So watch this. Watch this. I'm gonna give you your number one. How many want a new rule for apologies? Y'all are really looking like y'all are chomping at the bit. I'm telling you. I promise you, there's only 50 more slides. No, there's not. Just a couple more. Y'all be through. Somebody went, praise God. Didn't think he'd ever shut up. Number one new rule for apologies. This will save you right here. This is worth the price of admission right here. Number one new rule for apologies. Okay? Ready? Somebody going to get you. You're going to start reeling in your toes because here it goes. Some of y'all may have done this lately. Some of y'all may have done this today. Ready? Okay. Number one rule. Never say I'm sorry, but. I can see some smoke coming up somewhere. Can I tell you something? Listen carefully. It ain't like I'm pointing out and I got all the answers. I promise you I don't have all the answers. Matter of fact, look, let me just tell you something. When you say I'm sorry, but even if there was wrongdoing on the other side, and you say I'm sorry, but, you know what you do? People of us, we're trying to apologize and we keep butt dialing. For years, my butt kept getting in my way. I'm sorry, but I love you, but we can get this done, but in other words, when I put that butt in there, it's kind of like, I want to apologize because you're wrong. That's right. Exactly. I forgot that one. I remember that. Thank you. Anything before but doesn't even matter. Okay? I love you, but really? Do you really love me? I'm sorry, but are you really sorry? Or are you just saying, you're just throwing that out there as a wedge to open the door so you can beat me up? Well, I'm sorry, but, and when you put that but in there, I'm telling you, if you're talking to me, I'm going to go ahead and tell you now, I'm David, I'm your friend, I love you dearly, all of you with agape love, and there's certain people, not in here, but there's certain people all on the line that they strain your agape love so strained. If you're talking to me and you go, can we talk? I want to talk. I'm sorry, but I love you, but you automatically turn my switches off. I hadn't heard anything else you said. Because my defenses have already popped up. When you say you're sorry, now my hands are open. Okay, let's talk. But when you say, but all of a sudden I'm back again like this. So it's very important. Number one rule. Kick the butts out of here. I know butt zone. No butt dialing. There you go. No butt dialing. Okay? Because watch this now. Watch. The butt nullifies the whole apology. Because what the butt does is, listen carefully, this is going to show you. When you see it this way, it may have changed the way you think anyway. Ready? Ready? It's an attempt to excuse your own bad behavior based on their bad behavior. Instead of saying, I'm sorry, you should say, well, buddy, this is an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and I pull more teeth than you do. See, it takes strength and humility. But you always have a choice over your actions. Be responsible for owning up on your end. Yes, I've done wrong things. Yes, you've done some wrong things. But you know what? Let's don't deal with your wrong things right now, because you know what? The only person I can change in my entire life, the only person you can change in your entire life is you. You're the only one. I can't change my wife. I can't change my kids. I can't change anybody out here. The only person I can truly change is David Linton. And David Linton's a handful. He keeps me busy all the time. The only person you can truly change is you. And so if there's that wall, the way to get beyond that wall is, first, you got to do something. Something's got to happen to move that wall. As long as y'all keep throwing grenades at each other, it's not going to work. Somebody has got to step up to the plate, realize, hey, you know, I've done my part too, so you know what? I'm sorry. But not just I'm sorry, but what you're saying now is, yeah, I'm sorry, but if you hadn't of, but if you had of, but if you were better, but if you were worse, no. Please. I'm sorry. And we're going to tell you how to do that in just a minute, okay? So once you do that, God will deal with your spouse or with your other part of that relationship, whether it be your children or whether it be your parents. God will deal with them. But before He can deal with them, you've got a hand in this. And your hand in this is, okay, when I apologize for my wrongdoing, I'm not going to just go in and say, well, I was bad because you were bad. I was tough because you were tough. I was mean because you were mean. No. God got me. He convicted me. I'm sorry. I was wrong. End of my discussion. Wow. That right there, it's like a drawbridge. The drawbridge starts coming down. Because now pride is out of the way. Humility's taken over. And you can start walking across this bridge. So now, let me before we're going to talk about the five languages of apology next week, okay? But this week, I want to talk about what apologies are not. How many remember Maxwell Smart? What was his favorite thing he'd say when he was doing something? He'd say, missed it by that much. How would you like it? Now watch this. Look. See, I'm sorry. How many people have ever heard somebody say, I'm sorry, but you read between the lines and all you saw was not? They said they were sorry, but you know what? I didn't hear, I'm sorry. I heard, I'm not sorry. Because you got your butt in the way. Or somehow or another, you finagled it around to make it my fault anyway. So, okay. So watch this. Really? Ready? Here it goes. What apologies are not, y'all say missed it by that much. Well, come on, y'all say it louder than that. Missed it by that much. Okay, ready? Here it is. Here we go. You're ready. There are some common formats for apology that we all use. I'm not pointing out I'm doing it this way, okay? Because I have to be on guard because I do it too. We all do it, okay? It's not something that, okay, I'm perfect and y'all aren't. No, we all. Y'all say we all. We all. Now, when you're in Southern, you're Southerners, you can say you all. You all. Okay. Y'all guilty. Y'all say that. Y'all guilty. And there you go. So here we go. Here's one of the counterfeits. Ready? Sorry, excuse. Sorry, dash, excuse. Here's the example. Ready? I'm going to give you some examples and then tell you what the person of the birthday. This is the person giving offering the apology. They say, I'm sorry I didn't call, but I've been real busy. I hear that all the time. You gave me assignments to do. You told me how to help myself, and I'm so busy I can't do it. Well, I'm going to tell you a little secret. Here's what I hear. Please be understanding about the fact that other things were more important than you. Whoa. I've tried my best to quit saying I'm too busy. What I say now is, you know what? I'm sorry. I didn't take the time. I'm sorry. I didn't take the time. Not I have been busy, because we're all busy. How many here are not busy? Raise your hand. If anybody raises a hand that said they're not busy, find something for them to do, y'all. Okay. When you tell somebody, I'm sorry, but I really, look, sorry excuse. Here's just one of the examples. I'm sorry I didn't call, but I've been really busy. Please understand about the fact that the person you're talking to, you know, I had somebody just the other day, drove 3 hours, got down here, and forgot to call me that he was here. Told everybody else but me. Next day he said, you know, I'm sorry, but I didn't call you yesterday when I was there. Through 3 hours, didn't call me. He said, but I'm sorry, but I got a lot of things on my mind. Really? What I heard was, your brother and your sister and your brother-in-law and your nephew were important enough for me to call, but you weren't. That's what I heard. So I kindly, very gently, because I was busy, I really was busy pulling into some place where I was going to minister. And so I thought, I said, look, I'm here where I'm supposed to be ministering. I hate to do this, but I really need to go. And we parted ways and hung up. And when I hung up the phone, all I could hear was, you're not important enough for me to drive 3 hours and give you a call, along with everybody else in the group. If you do that, I ask you right now, ask God to help you learn that an apology with an excuse is really a cut down and a let down on the person you're giving that excuse to. So it's so important with your spouses especially. Sorry, excuse is bad. Okay? I told you this is going to be fun, isn't it? Y'all are laughing. I see y'all laughing and hitting your leg and everybody going, yeah! Actually, y'all look like somebody's got a dead fish walking through here and waving it out here because y'all are going. I promise you, when I studied, I had to study this and take a test on it. When I studied to take a test on it, I was going, ouch, 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 that pen had splinters in it. Okay, so number one, sorry excuse. They see sorry, not sorry. Ready? Missed it by, y'all say missed it by that much. Okay, first there's the sorry excuse. Then there's the sorry denial of intent. What in the world is that? Now I sound like a Philadelphia lawyer. Okay, I'll sit down for this one. Ready? Here's the excuse. I'm sorry you took it that way. It wasn't what I meant. Remember, I'm going to tell you how to apologize. Once you get in the conversation, you can tell them that's not what I meant, but at the moment, that's not what you needed to say. Why? Have you ever told somebody, I'm sorry you took it that way, but it wasn't what I meant, and you fanned the flame? Remember, I've told you all the time, every situation you come in, you got two buckets in your hand. You got a bucket of water and a bucket of fire. You decide which one you throw. If you're trying to put the fire out over there, you don't throw the bucket of gas on it. You throw the bucket of water. But if it's a dying ember and you're trying to get it back up, you throw the fire or the gas. So here you are. You got your bucket of water. You got your bucket of gas. Watch this. You go up to somebody. Remember, we're going to talk next week. You say, well, there's nothing wrong with this. Let me finish. Sorry, denial of intent. I'm sorry that you took it that way. That's not what I meant. I believe that's probably one of my biggest ones I had to overcome. This one right here. Okay? Because what the person hears is, you're saying you think it's too bad that I think it's too bad that you had difficulty understanding me correctly. Oh, I think gas goes here good. I was watching a war thing last night, and the guy had the gas pack on his back in Japan. And he's going through using the flamethrower, and the sniper sees him and hits him right in the back of that flamethrower, and he catches on fire and blows right up. So what he was supposed to use for a weapon to bring peace wind up being a weapon that destroyed him. Here you are. Let me give you another example. Maybe I can give a better example. But again, this is probably this is probably my biggest, I'm being honest with you, it's probably my biggest one. Example, I'm sorry if I offended you. Now remember, here's the trick. The trick is, where are you throwing it? Where's this coming in at? See, so remember, it's all in timing. It's all in your wording. If you give your word at the right time, it's like this. If I'm walking, I'm getting ready to hit a tree limb, and you tell me to duck way back there, by the time I get a tree limb, I forgot it. I'm looking around for a tree limb. Well, there ain't a tree limb around here. What's it? He's playing with me. If you tell me after I've hit it, then you've been Gilligan. Thanks a lot, Gilligan. I've already hit it. Timing's everything. So here he goes. I'm just about finished. I'm just about finished. I'm sorry if I offended you. I can't think of anything I did wrong. Here's what the person's hearing. I can't think of anything I did wrong, but if you think so, I'd be happy to apologize so I can get back in your good graces. Okay, y'all are really looking happy now. Ready? Here it is. I meant to put it up there. I didn't know. Getting so into it, I forgot to put it up there. One more, and then we're going to close her down. Somebody say amen. Y'all got louder on that one. Okay. Yeah. Sometimes sorry just isn't enough. Say it again. Missed it by that much. Okay. The next one. Of course, there's the sorry excuse. There's a sorry denial of intent. Then there's the sorry blame. And here's the example. I'm sorry I didn't call sooner. Have you been feeling insecure about our relationship lately? I remember somebody in my family had done something one time, and again, sort of like what happened the other day, everybody was informed but me, and I said, why didn't you tell me? And they said, are you jealous? No, I'm part of the family. I would like to be informed, like you informed the rest of them. Okay, there it was, sorry, blame. Are you jealous? Is that the problem? No, the problem is everybody showed up for the party but me. Because I didn't even know about it. So again, here's the translation. If you're upset about me, about my not calling, the real cause is your own insecurity, not anything I did. Y'all, this stuff right here will save relationships. I know it seems like this is some hard stuff. I know that it's hard. But I'm telling you, I've been doing this. I've been studying this. Matter of fact, for the last 3 weeks, I've been on this just about constantly. Until last night, I finally got a break in the semester, and now they're going into other mental things. But this was a biggie, biggie, biggie. And I just felt like I needed to share it. Okay? So let's talk about the guidelines for real apologies. I'm talking about the real thing. You know, how to say I'm sorry. How do you say I'm sorry? Watch this now. Listen carefully. Watch. Only say I'm sorry when you mean it. Don't say it to appease me. Don't say it to patronize me. Only say you're sorry when you really mean it. Because eventually, it's kind of like this. You can imitate the gifts of the Spirit, but you can't imitate the fruit of the Spirit. Satan is going to imitate the gifts of the Spirit, and people are going to fall for him. He does it all the time. But if you get around him long enough, and it's time for the fruit to be shown, you see the sour fruit, you'll know. You can imitate the Spirit. You can imitate the gifts, but you can't imitate the fruit the same way. Somebody says, I'm sorry, but they don't really mean it. Guess what? Give it to him. You'll see it. Also, only say I'm sorry when you can specify what you're apologizing for. Well, here's a good one. Say I'm sorry, but I don't know what I'm sorry for. Really? Okay. Or, you know what? Okay, I'm sorry. And when you tell me what I'm sorry for, then I can apologize for that too. Really? No. If that's how it's going to be, keep your lips sealed. May God put holy super glue on your lips. So only say you're sorry when you mean it, and when you can specify what you're apologizing for. Now watch this. This is really strong now. This is really, really strong, so watch it carefully. That's why I put so many words there. A healthy, authentic apology can be stated clearly what we did that was disrespectful or inconsiderate. You're talking about in the beginning, because remember, it opens up the dialogue. Once the dialogue gets opened up, then you can talk about stuff. But this is before the dialogue. This is getting the drawbridge to come down. This is trying to put the wall out of the way. This is not about rebuilding everything right now. It's just getting the drawbridge down. We'll talk about all the other things after we get going. A healthy, authentic apology can be stated clearly what we did that is disrespectful, inconsiderate, without immediately explaining why we did it. It can be done without telling the person that, however, whatever it looked like or sounded, it wasn't our real intention. We can do it without bringing up some other issue that suggests that the other person contributed to or caused the problem. That's the three things we just talked about. Okay? So now, with that in mind, remember, I'm not going to leave you hanging, but I'm not giving you the five languages till next week. Tune in next week, same bat time, same bat channel. And we'll find out if Batman and Robin got out of this. Ready? Get ready. Just quick. This is just quick. Because again, I'm telling you, this is so deep. We could go in this stuff here and be in this thing for 6 months. It's so deep. All right. Guidelines for real apologies. Apology accepted. Get ready. I'm going to sit back down on this one. This one here, shields up number one. Get ready. What about if somebody gives me an insincere apology? What if somebody has the butts all in it? What if somebody has to put my problems in it with them? What if they're too busy trying to fix me when they can't fix me? The only person you can fix is you with the help of God. You're the only person you can fix. You're the only one. So, decline to accept an apology does not give it sincerely. You say, wait a minute, now you're not being biblical. Let me finish. Please let me finish. When you accept an apology knowing that it wasn't real, you pretend an issue is resolved while harboring resentment. Don't you? Think about it. Okay, apology accepted. Everything's fine. And you walk around going, ugh, 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 ugh. You see, let me tell you something. Gently firmly, without anger, refuse to accept an insincere apology, because you're already doing it anyway. They just haven't heard it. Once you tell them, you know what? I'm not going to go into the whole story. I'm just going to tell you. There was this young man who actually was getting in the face of an older man and really, really was letting the older man show a lot of disrespect, a lot of hurt, a lot of pain, and was getting out of hand. And so I stood in between them, younger guy and the older guy. I stood in between them. I said, wait, stop. And the younger guy said, "Who are you?" And punched me in the chest. And I went, a few weeks later, we were all meeting together, and that young guy said, can I talk to you for a minute? I said, sure. He said, I want to apologize for pushing you in the chest. He said, but if you hadn't got in between me and him, it was none of your business, blah, 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 blah. And I said, when you can apologize to me like a man, come and do it. But until then, you need to go grow up and keep your hands off that other guy. Period. And of course, all kinds of things happened at the moment. But again, I just said, I'm not going to accept you putting the blame on me, because I walked up in the middle of the fight and stood in between you and kept you from doing something you would regret, and keep you from hurting somebody that was older than you and couldn't even defend himself. No, don't come and talk, but. Okay? So in that situation, I refused to accept an insincere apology, because the apology was not an apology. It was, I caused it. I caused the problem, I caused his action, and I caused everything. And I actually kept him from probably going to jail. So, please listen. Because again, this is heavy. You're going to say, how is this biblical? Hold on, let me finish. Please. If you accept an insincere apology, you'll begin to feel manipulated or pacified. Don't pacify me. Don't manipulate me. If you're sorry, you're sorry. If you're not sorry, then please don't say it. Okay? When you hear me say I'm sorry to you, I promise you 100% I am sorry. I can promise you that, because I know me. Right? So when you fail, or when you do not accept that insincere apology, you hold the other person more accountable, and you don't even have to even try to argue. Don't even try to argue about it. Don't even force an apology. Now here we go. Get ready. Now, I didn't write it up here. How many does it take for reconciliation? It takes two parties. Whether it's two people, whether it's 10 people, 20 people, what we got going on our land this day, we need reconciliation. But you can't have it with one party only. You got to have both parties. Okay? Both parties. But for forgiveness, it only requires one party. I can't forgive you for hurting me without accepting your apology for what you did to me. Think about it. I can forgive you for hurting me without you even being involved. Because now this is between me and God. And as long as I carry that weight on me, I can't hardly even move. Apologies only require one person, and it frees you because it's between you and God. Not between you and that person, it's between you and God. And once you free that person, then you feel better. But there may not be reconciliation until there's an apology. Okay? Now, but not just any kind of apology, a sincere apology without the buts, without the blame, without the excuses, without the intent. Just flat out, you know something? I was wrong. After I started studying this stuff, this isn't the first time I studied. The very first time I studied it was several months back, but I didn't study as in depth as I had in the last few weeks. I tried it because there was a person that was really upset because of something I had said, and I could have easily have said, you know, that's not what I meant. But all that would have done was inflamed it. So I said, I'm sorry. I should have never spoke that way. Can you please forgive me? And that person to begin with was kind of, but as they thought about it, and I just said, I'm sorry. They were waiting for me to come back with something. I said, I'm sorry. I upset you and I'm sorry. They calmed right down. Now, if I'd have tried to defend myself and bring all the stuff that's going to be able to talk about next week, all it would have done was made it worse. But instead, the wall was there. And as I said, I'm sorry, I can see it coming down. But they tested me. And I passed the test. I refused to get caught up in it until there was the forgiveness. And then there was the bridge. Then we could talk about it. You can't talk about it when there's not a bridge. So you can't talk to a wall. So remember, forgiveness requires one person. One. Reconciliation requires both parties. So for both parties, there has to be, number one, there has to be apology and forgiveness in order for the reconciliation to work. So I used to wonder sometimes, how can somebody apologize? I mean, how can somebody say they forgive, but at the same time, things hadn't really changed? And then I realized, it came to me as clear as a bell. It takes one to forgive, two parties to reconcile. And the wall is a sincere apology. That's it. So now, before you think, I've got some kind of, I'm like a subliminal message on a Beatles album, trying to give you a subliminal message. No, I'm just giving you what I studied and learned and tried and found out that it worked. And I try to practice it. And I found out the more I practice it, the better I get at it, the better it works. So now, again, relationships are four-letter words, W-O-R-K. It does not work. How many in here like working with somebody that you carry the whole load, but they get all the pay? Isn't it fun? You do all the work, they get all the pay. It's not fun. But the same way in a relationship, if you're doing all the work and they're getting all the pay, then it just brings resentment. There has to be, everybody has to bring something to the table. Work on it. But it all starts when the wall starts coming down. And as the wall comes down, it becomes a bridge, and then communication opens up. But as long as it's here, that's what you get. Both of you are talking, nobody hears what the other one's saying because there's a wall. So here we go. I like this. And speaking of the founding fathers, I'm going to close with this. DC, come get ready to play something, son. Benjamin Franklin said, never ruin an apology with an excuse. Remember, apologizing doesn't mean we don't talk about it. Apologizing doesn't mean we don't talk about the root cause analysis and all that. No. What apology does is it just lowers the wall to make it a bridge. And once you got a bridge, then you can talk. But until the bridge is down, you get nowhere. Have you ever played laser tag? Or played paintball? And you hide behind obstacles? And you shoot at your loved one? Well, until somebody can come up with that apology. Sincere apology. Not one you don't mean. No communication. How many remember the Karate Kid? And he thought that Mr. Miyagi was taking advantage of him, wax on, wax off, and all that. And he said something like, show me, Daniel-san, show me, wax on, wax off. And Daniel went, wax on, wax off. And he said, no, show me, wax on, wax off. Things started happening. So, I'm sorry. Keep it. Because remember, not only is your person watching, God is watching. And God can give you the wisdom, the understanding, and the strength to take care of business. And remember, it only takes one for forgiveness, as you, not the other party. But for reconciliation, it takes both parties. So if you're on the other end of this thing, work on that forgiveness and let God work on the reconciliation. You can't force it. If you force it, it just causes problems. Everybody stand. Everybody stand. Everybody bow your head. Close your eyes. I pray that y'all got as much out of this as I have been getting out of it the last few weeks. Yes, it hurt years ago when I used to always put the but in there. I learned to get rid of the buts most of the time, but I still would throw them in every now and then, strategically placed, give me a place to hide behind so I could shoot my paintball gun at the other person. Hard part about I'm sorry is you become vulnerable. Because the other person may not accept it to start with. The other person may never accept it. But, and this is a good but, you did your part before them and God. You left your gift at the altar, and you found the person that had an alt with you, and you tried to clear it up. Hebrews says, as much as possible, live at peace with all men. That word peace means to bind together that which has been separated. As much as possible. There'll be some folks who wouldn't accept your apology no matter what you did. But maybe later on they'll think about it, and because you did, they may come back and change their mind. Now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, first I'm going to ask this question. Is anybody here that would say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I'm not sure He's even watching me. And I can't even ask Him to help me with all this because I don't know Him. Every head bowed, every nobody looking around. You out there in Facebook land. You would like for God to help you with this, but you don't know Him. You feel like you're asking a stranger to come in and help. You don't have to feel that way. Jesus loves you. Remember, in order to work on the horizontal relationship, you need to work on that vertical relationship to give you strength for this. So, if you're here today, or you're out there and you don't have that relationship with Christ, would you slip up that hand? Maybe you're here today and your relationship has been tainted because of things like this. Relationships have been on a destructive slide, and it's got you all messed up. And it's hard to hear from God. And you need God to help you to get back in His good graces, His, God's, so that God can enable you to handle what's going on around you. If I'm talking to you right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, would you just raise that hand and say, I need to get back in the right place between me and God. Touch Him, Lord, touch Him. Now, right now, in the name of Jesus, let's pray this together. All of us. Lord, I need You in my life. I know that the challenges are great. And I know that I can't do it without You. I need You right now to touch me. Help me to do what I need to do. Help me push my pride aside. I rededicate myself to You right now in the middle of this storm. And I thank You for it in the name of Jesus. Now let's all pray this together. Lord, my life has so many pieces. And it's hard to keep them all together. I need You to touch my life right now. For those that I need to apologize to, help me to do it sincerely. For those that I need an apology from somebody else, help me to be patient. And when they do apologize, give them a way out. Because Lord, help me remember, the only person I can change is me. And I need Your help for that. Right now, in the name of Jesus, today's a new day. Today's a fresh beginning. Today's something special. And I give it to You. In the name of Jesus we pray. And the church said, Amen. Amen, amen. Tuesday